It's go time. Welcome back, family. This is your boy D. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Today's episode is entitled How, and I do mean how, to manage conflict and project management. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, family. Listen, when you get in this thing that we love, that I know that you're going to love, what we call project management, you're going to have to deal with conflicts. Whether good conflicts or bad conflicts, but you're going to have conflicts. I wish I could say that it won't happen. I wish that I could even tell you that when you get on a project, it's going to run so smoothly that no one is going to get bothered or get upset or frustrated at all. But it's not true. And because that's not true, family, we're going to address it here on today's episode. So let's jump right into it. If you're new, I have a 7-point framework, which means I go over 7 points. And then after that, I'm out. I may throw in a bonus. But for this, I think this is a really deep and really needed content as far as conflicts. I'm always focusing on the soft skills, I guess if that's what they call them, soft skills, or basically the skill set that I really believe, and it's subjective, but that I believe as a project manager, you're going to need to have whatever success looks like to you. All right, first point, acknowledging conflict's presence. Listen, if you do not face the conflict that you're experiencing on that project with the stakeholder head on, I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be a long, you see how I'm doing my head, long project. Listen, I mean, that's just the best way to put it. I mean, because if you continue to ignore the problem, then the problem is going to continually fester. And you may have people that is on that project that maybe are not as vocal about the conflict. So that's why it's up to the project manager when he's noticing or she is noticing that there's some type of conflict that's going on. You want to make sure that you acknowledge it, because it's going to help you as well as the rest of the stakeholders, because the rest of the stakeholders are definitely going to be affected by that. Point number two, active listening. By the way, if you do practice active listening, I hope that you'll go check out the book, The Magnetic Project Manager, coming soon to a store near you, an online store near you. But check it out. Really some really good things in there. I'll give you one good point that you're going to really love out of that. Leadership. Okay, let's keep moving. Active listening is point number two. You know, I don't know about you, but I have two ears and, of course, one mouth. With that being the case, I need to listen harder than I do, the more that I talk. And what that means, it really helps. When you practice active listening, it allows you to get to the root and not the surface of what is actually going on. I see a lot of surface things that are going on. What do you mean by that, ED? I'm glad you asked. See, this is why I like talking to my intelligent family here. The reason why that the surface is always addressed, because it's the easiest. Ooh, did I say that out loud? I think I did. It is. I mean, it's the easiest just to basically basically do some surface type problem solving versus getting to the root. I don't know about you, but I used to hate it. And I used to get in trouble by my mom and dad all the time. I'm cutting the grass and they say, hey, make sure you get those weeds and everything like that up as well. And I'm like, okay, cool. Just run the lawnmower right over it. And my dad would always say, listen, man, I know where you were going with that, but you're only basically just allowing the weed to grow even further. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to dig that weed up from the root, because if you don't, it's going to continue to grow back and grow back again. So again, I use that story to segue into the importance of tackling root problems instead of surface level problems, and leveraging active listening in the process to understand. Be slow to speak and even slower to speak. Ah, I got you with that one. But anyway, but honestly, family, be slower to speak. Listen first before you, and please don't do what I've seen people do as well, is that, you know, they call active listening allowing you to talk. And then once you finish the conversation, you can tell that someone is already, you could tell by the response how the answer is formulated. Like, they were formulating the response before even really hearing you out clearly. So again, I'm sorry I drained that point, but it's very important for us as project managers, family. Point number three, Neutral mediation. I've leveraged this before. It is very effective, and I can only speak from experience on this. This is not subjective. And the reason why I appreciate when I did have the experience of being able to use a neutral mediator is because they don't have, as my mentor would say, they don't have any skin in the game. And so they can look at it with a non-emotional bias, because sometimes we're human, so we develop emotions and we may have an emotional connection to the situation versus identifying what the actual true root problem is. So family, you know, if you are in a conflict and you're unable to solve it, maybe you want to engage a neutral mediator to help you along the journey. Point number four, focusing on shared goals. Listen, when you're leading a project, it's going to be imperative that you consistently remind the team to stay focused on the shared project goals. And this really unites a team. You know, when you have a goal and everyone is marching towards that goal and you're reminding them and saying, hey, I understand this is what has happened. Here's a better example. For all my athletes or just people that work out, period, you know, you may have a goal and say, hey, I want to be able to lose X amount of weight. And there's a process to go through that. And you have to continuously, as you're weighing yourself, reminding yourself like, okay, the goal is to lose 10. Right now, we'd have lost 5. We got 5 more to go. And once we knock out these 5, we've achieved the goal. And it's just constantly reminding yourself. You know, what I used to do in team meetings, it was a little over excessive, but you know, when you start off as a new project manager, you do a lot of excessive things. And then it's sort of like for a child, let's say, you know, when a couple has their first child, they're super protective. And then the second child is a little less overprotective, but it's still overprotective. And then the third child is like, hey, listen, if we haven't figured it out by now, it really won't even matter. So, so they get a little bit more leeway, and the other two kids are just like, well, you didn't allow me to do that. So that's the same thing. The reason why I use that approach is because we have to continually always reminding our teams. And I would basically, as a new project manager, we would have these goals and talk about them every meeting. And I could see, I was like, ooh, I might be burning them out. So you have to pick and choose. You know, when you start seeing the momentum kind of shifting a little bit, that's probably when you want to start engaging them and getting back to the actual reason why we're all here, is to get a particular outcome. Point number 5, creative problem solving. Oh, I love that. You know why I love creative problem solving? Because you have to be creative. You can't just think in a box. No point intended. But anyway, I digress. Encouraging more of a collaborative approach to solving problems is very effective. Imagine if you two people had a problem, right? Let's say you and this other person had a problem, and I step in as a project manager, we're leading this project, you guys are both stakeholders, and I say, hey, I get find out what both of your guys' problems are, and then I say, okay, I meet with you guys, first of all, individually. That's just a special note for you guys. If you ever have two stakeholders that are going at each other or have issues and or concerns, you want to split them up. You know, if you ever watched The First 48, they always, when they bring in a particular suspect or suspects, let's say they have suspects, meaning let's say more than two or more, they always split them up. They never put them in the same room. And so that's one of the things you want to do, family, is make sure that you split them up, because basically make sure that you give them the time that is required. And remember, one of the points was active listening. So it would be challenging to hear both sides at the same time, because you may create some type of bias. But I always like, you know, talking with one of the resources and then going to the other one. And then I would bring them together and say, okay, I heard both of you guys' story, or what is going on. What do you think? How do you think we can solve this? That's a collaborative approach. You putting the ownership back on them to ask them, you have this issue, you have this problem. How can we collectively solve it? Give me some ideas and let's see Let's implement them if it makes sense. If it doesn't, then we got to keep becoming more innovative to solve the problem. Escalation channels. I know when I first started off, I didn't understand escalation channels. Like, what did that look like? Now, I would always update, like in my communication management plan, I would have escalations there, but it's different when it comes to conflict. Now, again, it's subjective, is my point of view when it comes to that, but I personally believe that you should have a set of escalation channels to address conflicts that maybe I don't want to use the word handle, but the team has made a decision that they don't want to entrust in you and move forward with the proposed solution that either you came up with or you guys came up collectively with. So if that's the case, then you gotta go ahead and escalate to the next level, in which now you have to get, if they're not on the same team or department, you have to get both of their leaders involved and address the problem head on. Last and final point, post-conflict reflection. What does this mean? Basically, what this is mean, when you came up with a resolution or solution, same thing, you wanna make sure that you're touching base with those team members, or I should say stakeholders, to ensure that the solution that is in place, it is still working, everyone is still on the same page, we haven't lost anyone during the journey. This is key. A lot of times we forget to come, I've even forgot to come back and check on the original conflict, because I was so excited that the team is working in harmony, and sometimes you can get fooled by that way. So I definitely recommend, family, is once you get a resolution, make sure that you set up a timeline for yourself. Say, okay, in 2 weeks or a week or 3 days or whatever, I'm going to check in just to make sure all is well. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's been your boy, Ed. Until next time, you already know what I'm about to say. I'm out.